Welcome to the service this morning. We're delighted that you're here, and my subject this morning is a new name, a new name. We're going to be reading Revelation, the book of the Revelation, chapter 2, verse 17. This is the last verse in the message to the church at Pergamos. But this gives us an introduction to our subject today, a new name. Would you stand with me as we read this one verse? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who received it. A new name written. Let's pray. Father, this is your time. This is your word. I pray for your Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts and teach us what you want us to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When I was born, my parents gave me the name Richard Dale. Richard, named after a king. But they didn't call me Richard. They called me Dale. No one in the history of our family was named Dale. But that's all right. I had a new name for the family. It's such a good name that they included it in that old army song, Over Hill, Over Dale, as we hit the dusty trail and those caissons go rolling along. And I got along fine with the name Dale. In fact, as a teenager, when I went down to sign up for Social Security, I just gave them Dale Thornton. I left off the Richard. And that's caused me all kinds of misery. Because when you're filling out forms, they always want your first name and middle initial. Your middle name doesn't seem to count. But I've always been happy with my name, Dale. Now, fast forward to July the 3rd, 1961. I was 25 years old. Barbara and I arrived in Taiwan as missionaries. The first thing we had to do after we arrived, if we wanted to stay there and live there and work there, was to go down to the Foreign Affairs Police and apply for our alien resident certificate. Guess what? The name Richard Dale Thornton was not acceptable. They couldn't pronounce it. And they didn't know what it meant. They said, you need a new name. You need a Chinese name. So my good friend and co-worker, Brother Jack Bateman, gave me a new name. Tong and Tong. And that's it up there on the screen, I think. I appreciate Donald operating the sound today in the slides. Tong Untong. That's as close as he could get to Thornton. Thornton, Tong Untong. Our Chinese surname is Tong, and even though my parents didn't call me by that kingly name of Richard, Tong is the name of one of the famous dynasties in China. So I finally made it into royalty. A new name. This sermon all started with Daniel, so we'll blame it on him. As I was preparing my remarks for Grace and Daniel's wedding, I decided that if he wanted to be in our family, he must have a Chinese name. My slide changers left me. Okay. I decided that if he wanted to be in our family, he must have a Chinese name. So I gave him one. Shi Wei Yi. Shi surname means to give out. Wei Yi. Yi means righteous. So Wei Yi means to be righteous or to become righteous. So that's quite a name that I've given to Daniel for him to live up to. But when you get a new name, biblically, God's plan for us is to live up to our name, the name that he gives us. But after giving Daniel that new name, I decided that it was not fair because most of our family do not yet have Chinese names. So I have started a project to give names to Chinese names to everyone in our family. So, Daniel, you won't be alone. And that includes all of our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, which there is now 13 of them, I think. Is that right? They're all going to get a new name. Some already have Chinese names. I'm talking about family members. For instance, Pastor Robert over here has the Chinese name of Lu Junfu. Lu is just a surname. Jun is handsome. Fu is husband. Now, I can't imagine who gave him that name. But we won't argue with it. Handsome husband. Now, my other son-in-law's down here, Stephen. As far as I know, Stephen doesn't have a Chinese name. And so the name Stephen means crown. So 1 Peter 5:4 says that when Jesus returns, we will receive a crown of glory. So Stephen's Chinese name is Tan Rongguan. Tan is just a family name, surname. Rongguan, Rong means glory or glorious or bright. Guan means crown. So I hate to say this, but as you look at Stephen, you can see the precursor of that crown that he's going to wear one day in heaven. That's all I'll say about that. And finally, I can't leave out Donald, since he's so helpful in changing the slides for me. Donald Preuninger, surname Pung, but the given name, Ray Fu. The word Ray in Chinese means auspicious. Fu means father. Ray Fu, we have an auspicious father here, especially after the birth of Chloe Adeline. Well, enough of that silliness, but it's serious business to me. So all of you family members, get ready, your name is coming. In our text this morning, the Bible says, I will give him a white stone and on the stone a new name written which no one knows except him who receives it. There is much debate as to the meaning of the white stone and the new name. William Barclay, in his New Testament commentary, said this. Most likely what John is saying is, your heathen friends, and you did the same in your heathen days, carry amulets and charms with superstitious inscriptions on them, and they think that their amulets will keep them safe. You need nothing like that, for you're safe in life and in death because you know the name and the nature of the only true God. The trust of the heathen was in a superstitious charm. The trust of the Christian was in the name of God. End of quote. And having lived in Taiwan for all those years, I can testify that the Chinese believe in carrying amulets and having in your car good luck charms and so forth, things that will protect you and keep you safe and so forth. And this is what the heathen, the so-called heathen, do. But you and I, as God's children, we stand alone in the name of our God and in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. And so in ancient times, there was the custom of giving a new name to someone to mark a new status that they had achieved in their life. For instance, the name of the first Roman emperor was Octavius. But when he became the first of the Roman emperors, he was given the name of Augustus. That new name marked his new status as emperor and even his status as a god. In the Bible, on several occasions, God changed the names of certain select people. There was a reason and a lesson for us in the new names that God gave them. So we're going to look at those this morning very quickly. When God changed a name, he had a reason. He wanted them to live up to their name. And as I sort of indicated, the names that I give to my family members, the new names, are names I hope they will be able to live up to. And as children of God, we have the name of Christian. And today God wants us to live up to our new name that we received when we believed in the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior. So let's learn from four people whom God changed their names and gave them new names. First of all, there's a new name revealing a new message. Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you, the whole land of Canaan, which you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. And so here in this passage, we find that God appears to Abraham. He was 99 years old. God's first appearance to him and back in Haran, Abraham was 75 years old, and he was 86 years old when the son Ishmael was born of Hagar, the servant girl of Sarai. But he had waited some 25 years for the fulfillment of God's promise that he would give him a son through Sarai, and that his descendants would be multiplied. It had been some 13 years since God had made his last appearance or his last message to Abram. So we consider the name. It seems like Abram and Sarai were misnamed from the very beginning. Abram means exalted father. But Abram's now 99 years old and he has no children through his wife Sarai. Abram means exalted father. But Abram had no children. So he was not living up to his name. Sarai means my princess. But Abraham and Sarai had no children. He was 99. Sarai was 89. There was no human possibility that they could have a child. What a disappointment for them. But then Yahweh, covenant God of Israel, appears to Abram. He told Abram he was going to change his name. I can imagine what Abram thought to himself when God told him that. He said, well, it's about time. I've been all embarrassed all these years having the name Exalted Father and having no children. Thanks for changing my name. By the way, Lord, what are you changing my name to? Then God told Abram, I'm changing your name to Abraham, father of a multitude. And I'm changing Sarai's name to Sarah, princess of many. Can't you imagine what Abram was thinking? Lord, you've got to be kidding. From exalted father to father of a multitude. Here I am, 99 years old with no children. Why don't you just leave well enough alone? In ancient times, the name change was made in various ways. Sometimes the old name was dropped and a new name was adopted. But sometimes the name was changed by inserting one or more letters into the old that completely changed its meaning. That's what God did in the case of Abram and Sarai. Instead of Abram, an exalted father, he was to be called Abraham, father of nations. God changed Abraham and Sarah's name in a special way by inserting himself into Abram and Sarai's names. The name Abram, Avram, has four consonants. The Hebrew name for Israel's covenant God was Yahweh, which has four consonants in it. And in ancient Hebrew, it was written without vowels, so you only had consonants. And in Yahweh, there are four consonants. Two of them are the letter He. And so the letter He can represent Yahweh when it is in certain situations. And so what God did, he took Avram, Abram, and inserted the hay from his own name. And it became Avraham, Abraham. And the same for Sarai. Sarai became Sarah with the hay character representing God at the end. And so God changed their names so that they had the covenant God of Israel inserted into their name and into their lives. The new name meant that there was going to be a renewal of the covenant God had made with Abraham and his descendants after him. He first started that covenant back in Genesis chapter 12. Then in chapter 15, God renewed that covenant. And now in chapter 17, once again, God is renewing the covenant as he appears to Abraham. The new name meant a new renewal of the covenant. It meant a renewed commitment of Abraham to follow God, to serve God, to be God's man on this earth. The new name meant a revelation of the power of God to keep his promise and his covenant. The first verse, excuse me, these things happen. The first verse says, God appeared to Abraham. He said, I am God Almighty. And so Abraham learned that the God he served, the covenant God that he followed, was God Almighty, was able to provide in all the things that he needed. You and I have taken a new name, the name of Jesus Christ, Christian. We follow him because we believe with all of our heart that he is the Son of God, that he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. We believe that he is the one who died on the cross for our sins, and that he was buried, and that by the power of God he rose from the dead the third day. And so we follow him. We believe in him. We take his name. And we live up to that name. Thank you, sweetie. Number two, a new name revealing a new master. This, of course, is Jacob, who received a new name from the Lord. And I'm not, there's so much I could read, but I'm going to read just Genesis 32, verses 24 through 28. It says, then Jacob was left alone. You remember this story, how Jacob had fled from his father-in-law Laban after 20 years, and he had two wives and a bunch of sons and so forth. And then he heard that his brother Esau, who had sworn to kill him, was on the way to meet him with 400 men. And so this is the background. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Jacob had lived all his life with the name Jacob, which meant trickster, schemer, conniver. It meant to trip somebody up. He tricked his brother into trading his birthright for a bowl of bean soup. He deceived his aging father Isaac into granting him his final blessing, which Isaac had meant for his brother Esau. He lived with his uncle Laban for 20 years, and Each one was trying to out-trick the other. And Jacob just about met his match with Laban, but he left with many flocks and herds and much wealth. But God had something else planned for Jacob. Jacob was used to doing things his own way. That's how he had lived. That's what his name represented. Jacob was making his own plans. He was being his own boss. He was his own master. And it almost always got him into trouble. God had better things planned for Jacob. In order to accomplish these things in his life must change. And so it started with a new name. God changed his name as he wrestled with the angel of God, which possibly was a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't know for sure. But he wrestled with him all the night long. And finally, at the breaking of the day, the angel said, "Let me go." And Jacob said, "I won't let you go unless you bless me." And the angel said, "Okay, I'll give you a blessing, but I'm going to change your name. I'm going to change your name from Jacob to Israel, the prince and power of God. Jacob, you are now going to do things God's way because you are the prince and power of God. No more scheming. No longer the prince and power of Jacob." Why do we always think our way is better than God's way? Why do we plan, scheme, make decisions, and direct our own life without considering God and his plans? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." And so, Jacob's way became Israel's way. Trusting in the Lord, following him, obeying him. After Jacob became Israel, we see his life change. He faced up to the results of his scheming life, and he got things straightened out with his brother Esau. He fathered many sons who are to this day known as the children of Israel, not Jacob. He is the founder of the 12 tribes of Israel. His life has changed when he had a change of masters, a change of plans, and he let God direct his life. And again, let me remind all of us as Christians, we also have a new name, Christian, a follower of Christ. We need to claim that name. In certain circles in our world, in our country today, you're looked down upon, you're condemned if you tell people you're a Christian. But we need to live up to it. We need to proudly bear the name of Christian. We need to follow him, not our own plans and schemes. We submit to him as our Lord and Master. When we do, we will see God bless us. If we don't, we will see our life in a shambles, like Jacob. Number 3, a new name revealing a new man. We're going to be talking about Peter. John chapter 1, verses 38 through 42. "One of the two who heard John speak, followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is translated the Christ. and he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. Simon was a loudmouth. Simon made a lot of noise. And we've all known those loudmouths in our life, those know-it-alls. Simon was like a bull in a china closet. He was a blowhard, a loudmouth. Perhaps I think most of us know someone like this. He tried to talk Jesus out of going to Jerusalem. Jesus told him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He was saying, "Simon, you're making too much noise. Would you please shut up? You're full of hot air." Simon promised Jesus at the Last Supper that he wouldn't forsake him. Though everybody else would, Simon said, "I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you." He was just making a lot of noise. Because we know that Peter that night denied knowing Jesus three times. He lived up to his name, Simon. It's like someone who goes by the name of Tex. Somebody asked him if he was from Texas. He said, "No, I'm not from Texas. I'm from Louisiana." But who wanted to be called Louise? So we see a change in Simon when Jesus changed his name from loudmouth, from windbag, to Peter, to Cephas, a rock. After the resurrection of Jesus, Peter took charge of the frightened and faltering disciples. Peter fearlessly preached the news of the resurrection on the streets of Jerusalem for all to hear. Peter was the leader of the early church, a missionary statesman, a martyr for the cause of Christ. This was a great change for Peter. He claimed his name. He lived up to that new name. Peter was a new man. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And so we, like Peter, have a new name. We're Christians. We're followers of Christ. Peter went from being a loudmouth windbag to a preacher of the gospel. Simon became a rock, standing hard and fast for Jesus Christ. And so you and I also have a name to claim. Let's claim it proudly, victoriously. Let's stand on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Number four, a new name revealing a new mission. Just reading part of one verse. This is talking about Saul, who became Paul. "Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him." Paul, before he was saved, was called Saul. Saul persecuted the early church, killing and imprisoning Christians. This was his mission when he was on the road to Damascus. Saul is a Jewish name, meaning ask. What Saul asked for and demanded, he got. He was feared and respected by the Jewish leaders. He was a man of influence and power. But God had a new name in mind for Saul. For a new job that he had for him, a new mission. His previous mission had been to persecute, imprison, and even kill Christians. But his new mission God changed his name to the Roman name Paul, which means little. That would sure humble you, wouldn't it? From ask where I've got power to little. Saul didn't have any room for Jesus in his life before. He thought he could live his life in his own power and strength. But God had to cut him down to size for him to use Saul. He blinded him on the Damascus road and caused him to see the glory of the risen Christ and submit his life and his heart to him, to follow him all the days of his life. Saul had to see Jesus as more important than anything else in the world. His opinion about himself and Jesus had to change. Self had to be crucified. Christ had to be put on the throne. And so God gave him a new name to claim. Paul. Little. It was a name he had to live up to. And he did. Listen to what he says. And there are many scriptures that I could have read. How Paul saw himself. Humble and the least of the least. But these two just popped into my mind. Ephesians 3:8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Then again in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So Jesus became foremost in Paul's life. Paul became little. He became insignificant. That's why we see the greatness of Paul, because he saw the greatness of Jesus Christ. And so you and I today also have a new name, Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. It should reflect our weakness because we know his greatness. We know his strength. It's a name for us to live up to in our daily lives, wherever we go, so that people, as they see us and as they observe us at the workplace, at the supermarket, or wherever it is, that they can see that there's something different about us because we're Christians. We're followers of Jesus Christ. A name to live up to. A name to proudly claim. I am a Christian. And so we have a new name, Christian. Follower of Jesus Christ. From a vile, unregenerated sinner to a child of God. God has a purpose in changing your name so you can claim it, so you can live up to it, along with a new name comes a new responsibility to follow Jesus Christ, to follow his example, to be like him. But as it was with Abraham, I am God Almighty. And so you and I go forth as children of God because we have God Almighty on our side. We have God pouring out his life into us. And even as God, Jehovah, Yahweh, became part of Abraham and Sarah's lives and names. And so you and I, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we receive him into our hearts. He indwells us. He empowers us. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the ends of the earth. So may God help us to take the name of Jesus with us, child of sorrow, child of woe. So many of the hymns in our hymn book sing about the name of Jesus. The first hymn we sang this morning, A New Name. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And I thank God that today I can have that confidence that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven because I have confessed and received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the new name you've given us. And perhaps when we get to heaven, on that white stone, we'll receive a new name. We don't know what it will be, but we know it will be a precious name, a meaningful name, a name that will give honor and glory to you. But in the meantime, help us to live for you and to proudly and gladly bear your name as we live in this world. Because we know this world is not our home. We're just passing through. But while we're here, help us to bear your name proudly and honorably to give glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen.